Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, hope you're okay and happy Friday. Thank you for downloading today's podcast on April 24th. Coming up today, a family's home has been destroyed in a blaze.
Try to grab anything I can out because I panicked, I didn't know what to do. Just try to grab memories.
Hear from a former soldier from Gillingham who's running the London Marathon this weekend.
I'll be raising money for Felix Fund, the bomb disposal charity. They're a charity that works really closely with the high threat search and bomb disposal community.
And thousands are expected at a lambing event in the county this weekend.
We have just over 200 Clins and Romneys who are in the middle of lambing, and hopefully the public might be able to see some live births this weekend.
But first, let's take a look at our top story for today. A man who knocked a celebrity DJ unconscious at a gig in Kent has avoided being sent to prison. Zach Bradley punched Fat Tony at the Lido in Cliftonville in Margate. Now, Nicola's been following this story for the podcast, and she's here with me now to answer a couple of questions. First of all, Nick, could you tell us how this all unfolded?
Yeah, well, as you say, Fat Tony was just finishing his set at the Lido in Cliftonville in the early hours of December the 14th when Zach Bradley approached the booth in what's been described as a breach of DJ etiquette. Now, there are reports homophobic remarks were made when an argument broke out, but it all escalated when Fat Tony, whose real name is Tony Marnock, went behind the decks during Bradley's set to get a USB. The men argued before Bradley punched Fat Tony twice, knocking him unconscious.
And just how bad were his injuries?
Well, following the attack, Fat Tony posted pictures of his injuries online, including a black eye. He'd suffered fractures to his eye socket and cheekbone and spent the night in A&E. He'll later require facial filler to correct his appearance.
And he is a little bit of a celebrity, isn't he? What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, we've reported on Kent Online before, actually, that Fat Tony was Brooklyn Beckham's wedding DJ. He's a regular feature on red carpets, attending events with reality TV star Gemma Collins and singer and actress Claire Sweeney. After the attack in Margate, he was forced to cancel a few gigs, prompting responses from famous faces such as Kent artist Tracy Emin and Davina McCall.
And we know Bradley has avoided a prison sentence. Can you tell us about what happened in court?
He did. The 37-year-old from Tankerton Road in Whitstable was handed a suspended sentence. The judge concluded he had a problem controlling his temper, but the risk can be managed in the community.
Thanks, Nicola. You can read the full story and see video footage of the attack by heading to the homepage of Kent Online.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories today. A man's been arrested in Kent as part of a murder investigation in South London. It's after a 30-year-old was found dead at a property in Camberwell on Wednesday night. We're told a 66-year-old was detained in the county yesterday and is in custody. A Thanet family say they've lost everything following a devastating fire at their home. The blaze broke out at the property in Byron Avenue in Margate earlier this month. It's not known yet how it started, but a fundraiser's been set up to try and help them. Craig Harker has been speaking to reporter Millie Bowles.
We was out all day, helping that family with the garden, doing a bit of gardening, and coming up to Friday afternoon, we had a phone call from the neighbour asking, panicking, seeing if we're in or not, and we said, no, why is that? And they said, well, your house is on fire. Not thinking literally our house is on fire, we just thought, as people say, I'm running back to the house, and our house was literally on fire. So, yeah, wow. Sad times, really.
And what did you do when you got there?
Well, kind of running up the road and panicked and asked the neighbours for a hose pipe. I don't know if that's going to be doing anything, but yeah, got asked for them for a hose pipe. Ran into the property, which don't run into a burning building, you learn from your mistakes. Grabbed the reptile out, tried to grab anything I can out because I panicked, I didn't know what to do. Just try to grab memories.
What situation are you and your family in now?
At the moment, we're in temporary accommodation, just in a little flat at the moment, just until we'll hear back from the estate agents and make sure there's no asbestos in the building. And just to make sure, it's just emotional and just all over the place. Not really know if we're coming or going at the moment, so it's just in a catch 22 at the moment, really.
Meantime, it's emerged a dog is missing following a fire that destroyed a home on Romney Marsh. Crews were called to Seaview Road in Greatstone on Wednesday morning and spent 7 hours tackling the flames. The family, including 3 children, are staying in a nearby hotel while almost £9,000 has been raised online to support them. And firefighters have been tackling a blaze involving 5 hectares of grassland in North Kent. Crews were called to Swanscombe Marshes last night and people living nearby were told to keep windows and doors closed because of the smoke. 6 engines, an all-terrain vehicle and a drone were used during the operation. It's not known yet how it started.
Kent Online News.
Tributes have been left in memory of a teenage boy who died on a railway line in Whitstable. Emergency crews had been called to the town on Wednesday night and an investigation is underway. Notes on flowers at the scene have described the 17-year-old as the kindest soul. A court has heard how a Strood woman made more than £136,000 through hundreds of fake insurance claims. Danielle Corbin tricked Direct Line into paying out for emergency home repairs at addresses in remote locations over 5 years. The 37-year-old from Columbine Close admitted a fraud offence. She's due to be sentenced in October. A residential care home in Chatham has been shut down following a 4th inadequate rating from the Care Quality Commission. Inspectors in March found the White House in breach of regulations around safe care and treatment, infection control, staffing and safeguarding. They'd failed to make the required improvements and has now been forced to close. People living there will be moved to alternative care settings. Now, a former Kent soldier who suffered with his mental health after losing colleagues in the line of duty is going to be among the thousands taking on the London Marathon this weekend. Ollie Aspinall from Gillingham worked in bomb disposal and says while he didn't lose any limbs, he lost his mind. The 40-year-old has recently left the army and will be completing the 26.2 miles in the capital.
I'll be raising money for Felix Fund, the bomb disposal charity. They're a charity that works really closely with the high threat search and bomb disposal community, both military and certain civilian companies. Now, I have served with the high threat search community for a number of years, both abroad and UK sort of based. And they support members of that community who have lost limbs, you know, families who have lost, people have lost lives, you know. I myself, physically, I'm fine. I sort of flippantly say I lost my mind quite a while, years ago. I was having treatment and therapy for about 6 years for psychotic depression. And once I'd finished with professional psychological support and help, Felix Fund, they run a course, and it's amazing, called a dashboard course. And it's all on stress management, more mindful living, and it's run the two instructors, I will name them, Lizzie and Archie. Lizzie's a spiritual coach, and she's like my mum and my sister, all wrapped into one. And Archie is an Ishaya monk and a meditation teacher, a really incredible guy. Got really tight bonds with him, even, you know, still now. And the week I spent with them just completely changed my life. They set me off on the path of teaching yoga, which I do. I'm a registered teacher, and I try and help the community out with stress management, just helping people live happier lives, you know. So that's what Felix Fund did for me, and I'm just trying to give something back to that charity that does so much more for that community.
You say they changed your life. Would you go as far as to say they saved your life?
Absolutely would. I was very close to taking my own life. Combined with professional help, they gave me the tools to rebuild myself, which I keep doing. You know, it's a constant, not fight or a struggle, but it's a constant process of being aware of your own thoughts, feelings, actions, emotions, asking yourself why you're feeling such, you know, in such a way, and putting things in place to move forward and keep building, keep getting stronger.
Doing the London Marathon is no mean feat, but that's not the only challenge, is it? What else are you going to be doing?
No, so I'm starting to sort of tell myself that it's the London Marathon, yes, but it's really, part of me is seeing it as a really long training run. So in June, I've got the 100-kilometer Race to the King as well, but that's not all. Next year, there's going to be another bigger challenge, which we haven't really, sort of pushed out yet. But that's going to be even bigger, more difficult. But that gives me the opportunity to push this message of the only thing you can do is keep moving forward, you know, with the weight of the world seemingly on your shoulders. The only thing you can do is keep moving forward.
Now, Kent Superbike rider Shaky Byrne is also taking on the London Marathon 8 years after a career-ending crash. The 50-year-old from Sheppey holds an unprecedented 6 British Superbike Championship titles but suffered life-changing injuries when he came off his bike in May 2018. He'll be taking on the challenge this weekend to raise money for spinal research.
Kent Online News.
Plans have emerged for a 300-home estate near Maidstone. If approved, the properties would be built on more than 13 hectares of land on headquarters Road in Staplehurst. The development would also include public open space. A ceremony is taking place to mark the start of work on an underpass in Ebbsfleet to improve public transport in the area. Construction of the 75-metre-long tunnel under the B255 Bean Road should get underway later in the spring. It'll eventually be used as a direct route for fast-track buses, pedestrians and cyclists between Whitecliffe and Bluewater, with improved links to Ebbsfleet International Station. Now, a Kent College is open to visitors this weekend, offering a rare opportunity to see lambs being born. It's the annual lambing weekend at Hadlow College in Tunbridge. The event this Saturday and Sunday offers the public a chance to see everything the college has to offer. I've been speaking to Jo Saunders, who works there.
Lambing weekend here at Hadlow is a real showcase of everything that we have here at the college. Obviously, we're showing off our wonderful lambs and our breeding ewes. So we're really lucky here. We have just over 200 hens and Romneys who are in the middle of lambing, and hopefully the public might be able to see some live births this weekend. And also a chance to see, you know, all the other areas of the college as well. So things like floristry displays, bird of prey displays, horse demonstrations, vineyard tours, a little bit of everything.
Can you tell me a little bit about the, the preparations that go into an event like this? As you say, it's not just, watching, hopefully, some lambs get born, but, you know, it's we're bringing in all elements of the college here. It must take a great deal of organising to sort of get all your ducks in a row and get everything together.
It does. Yeah, it's all hands on deck. We've been very busy this week. And also there's lots of other things involved as well. So things like a shopping village where people can come and have lots of different food and drink. And for the first time this year, we're really excited because we have the UK's first student-led bird of prey display team who will be proudly showing off their first ever displays here at Lambing as well.
And Emily, I believe that's where you come in. Can you tell me a little bit about, first of all, what is a bird of prey display, and what sorts of things are we going to be able to see?
So we're flying a large range of birds. We've got Harris hawks, falcons, like jackal buzzards, and we're just going to be flying them around the public and doing a big show for everyone.
Okay, so this isn't it's not an interactive, not a hands-on thing for the public. They're not going to be able to sort of touch or hold the birds. It's more just an idea of being able to see what they can do and have them fly around. Is that right?
So we will have a stall as well where, like, the public can ask questions. We'll be holding the birds and, like, teaching them about the birds as well.
And what's it like for you as a student? I mean, you know, this is sort of what you've been working towards and what you've been studying. To have an opportunity now to put those skills into practice and put them on display for the public, I mean, feel a little bit of pressure, or are you excited? How do you feel?
Well, it's quite nerve-wracking because it's the first time I've done anything like this. But we've been practicing a lot towards it, and we've done like a whole course training for it as well.
And so it's going to make up part of the schedule for the whole day. It runs across 2 days, Saturday and Sunday. Is that right?
Does indeed. Yes, the lambing weekend is 11 till 4 p.m. on both Saturday and Sunday this weekend. And the student-led bird of prey displays can be caught at 12, 30 and 2 o'clock on each day.
Now with the lambs themselves, so we're sort of fingers crossed that, the members of the public will be able to see some lambs being born. If they're not lucky enough to see sort of that natural amazing thing happen, there will be lambs there. Am I right? People will be able to sort of meet lambs that have already been born, maybe give them a cuddle, I think.
They certainly will. Yes, so hopefully we'll see some live births. We were lucky enough to have a couple last year, but we will have fresh lambs out for the public to see, maybe have a little cuddle with, and also we'll have live lambing talks happening across the weekend as well. So some of our ag students and staff will be, sorry, agriculture students and staff will be on the mic teaching the public all about what we do here with our lambs.
There'll also be tractor rides and live entertainment.
Kent Online News.
There are calls for more facilities for older children and teenagers to be set up at a former bowls club in Maidstone. The facility in Clare Park, which has a large green and clubhouse, closed following a drop in membership. People living nearby are being asked what they'd like to happen to it. A new play area at Bluewater is set to reopen today following a major refurbishment. The Winter Garden Play Park was closed in November last year and has now been redesigned to be more inclusive. It'll feature more spaces designed to support physical, sensory and imaginative play for children of all abilities. Now, pubs, chefs and hotels have been recognised at this year's Kent Food and Drink Awards. Among the winners were the Warmer Court Farm Shop in Deal and Folkestone Harbour Arm. We were able to catch a few words from Zach and Joe. They're from the King's Head in Sutton Valence, which won Pub of the Year.
Yeah, I mean, the recognition is fantastic and, we have to thank our clients for that. But I think most of all, we'd like to say thanks to our staff, who are the main reason well we've been elected for this award, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And couldn't do it without anyone.
Let's hear now from Dominic Saunders and Harry McMillan from the Ivy in Canterbury, which won Restaurant of the Year for the second time.
It's an amazing opportunity for us to be here again today. Anything you want to add at all?
Surprise, pretty much you've covered those.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, it's great to win it again, especially with the obviously other nominations. So yeah, it's a very proud moment for us and the team.
And it's one thing to have, a food expert come along and say it's great. If you've got all these customers that are the ones that voted you in, what's the feeling for you guys knowing it's real people in Kent and voting for you?
I think that's the main thing for us. I think it's quite easy, especially when you work in this industry, to get stuck behind numbers and what other people seem to say. But when you know that it's the guests who come in all the time and the ones who are coming back and voting for us again for a second year, it's really an amazing experience.
You can read the full list of winners at Kent Online. Unsung heroes in part of Kent are being celebrated later. The annual Pride in Medway event is taking place at the Corn Exchange in Rochester. Awards include Volunteer of the Year, Outstanding Fundraiser and Inspiring Youth. A Kent couple whose wedding plans were ruined when a venue went into administration have won a competition to tie the knot for free. James Klosick and Nicola Cooper were left £9,000 out of pocket following the collapse of the Blazing Donkey Country Hotel near Sandwich. They'll now get married at Bilsington Priory.
Kent Online Sport.
Football now, and it's a trip to Barnet for Gillingham's penultimate game of the season this weekend. Tomorrow's opposition are pushing for the playoffs while the Gills are playing for pride. Gillingham manager Gareth Ainsworth has been speaking to the club's media team.
Flying high on it, they've been one of the surprise teams in the league, I have to say. Bromley have probably shocked everyone, and fair play to them and congratulations, on their promotion. And Barnet, yeah, I think they were underachieving at the start of the season. I think in the league position they were, because they're a strong side, got some really good players. Going to be a tough game, but we're going to travel well. It's our last away game, I know that. I know there's a lot of fans going, I know. They're all going to wear crazy shirts, I've been told, so that'll be interesting. I can't join them, I'll have to be a boring same old me. But
are you a crazy shirt man?
I've got a couple, but I won't be wearing them Saturday, believe me. They'll be there in numbers and it'll be great, because we're probably 50-50 on the fans, I think, if the amount of I've heard are going, it'd be fantastic. But job to do on a team that are flying high in the league. They've turned over MK Dons, they've turned over some big teams, they've been on a real good run. Legs in their team, and we're going to contend with that. Still one or two knocks here, but we're coming to the end of the season now, and I'm hoping to be able to freshen things up and make those changes I've been talking about. But with two games left to go, I want to try and win with two, end the season with two wins. I want to win both games. So again, we'll be going for the win, and we'll see what Barnet will up, you know, offer in opposition.
Realistically, Barnet probably need to win to keep their playoff hopes alive. That being the case, is it slightly easier for you to prepare your team, or actually quite the opposite?
They've changed a lot formation-wise this season. They're the team that have changed the most out of any team, you know, with their formations. And, you know, they've got multi-positional players, which is really key at this level. And yeah, Dean Brennan's done a fantastic job. Got to give him loads of respect, you know, because making his step up from the non-leagues into the league, done a really good job. You know, got some cracking players. So, not same as any team really to play for, and the fact that they're going for something. We had that against Grimsby last week. We've had it against, you know, Walsall a few weeks ago. So, you know, we know now that every team we play, is often playing for something. But so are we. We're playing for pride. I want the away performance, the last away performance of the season, to be a good one. We finished with Port Vale away last year, and that was a really good performance. And I'm expecting that you know, we can put a good shift in and then finish at home next week.
Staying with football, and Dartford have come from behind to win the Kent Women's Cup final. They beat Chatham Town 2-1 at Maidstone's Gallagher Stadium last night, with Abby Davies scoring the winner from the penalty spot in the second half. Elsewhere, AD Peacocks decided to step down as Dartford manager. The former Gillingham player's final game in charge will be this weekend. He's leaving Princes Park after the side narrowly missed out on a place in the Isthmian Premier playoffs. To cricket now, and Kent are back in action later, looking for their first win of the season. Their first two games against Durham and Northamptonshire have ended in a draw. Today they welcome Worcestershire to Canterbury. Kent's latest paddle facility opens today. The Square One Paddle Centre in Sittingbourne's Eurolink Industrial Estate has 9 courts, a gym and recovery spaces. And a group of cheerleaders from Chatham have been crowned world champions. The junior team from MCDA All-Stars finished first in their category at the competition in Florida. The senior side claimed an incredible bronze out of 63 teams worldwide. That's all from us today and for the week. Thank you ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads, no pop-ups and exclusive stories. You can choose a subscription plan that works best for you. For more details, head to kentonline.co.uk/subscribe.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.